Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
iZotope Native Instruments and Plugin Alliance are launching a whole bunch of super hot deals for the Summer of Sound sale. From now until the 6th of July 2023, iZotope are offering all their software for 50% or more off, including the comprehensive mixing and mastering bundle Music Production Suite 5, as well as flagship tools like Ozone, RX, Neutron, and more. All things I use to edit this podcast. Visit iZotope.com and check out the frankly colossal range of things that you can get at extraordinary prices, and take your mixing and editing to a whole new level.
Well, Matt, this week at the start of the podcast, I'm not actually going to do a dad joke. I'm sorry, dear listener. One week off. Instead, I just wanted to say thank you very much to everyone, to our wonderful guitar community. Obviously, last week we didn't have a podcast, and I put out a statement saying, you know, that I'd lost, you know, Buddy, the dog had passed away, and just the amount of messages I've had, comments on that post, emails, DMs that I've had from all you lot has been really amazing. So I just wanted to say thank you. You know, we've been doing, Matt and I, we've been doing this for 10 years of podcasting, and I am very grateful for the wonderful community that you guys are. That's about it.
No joke.
No, exactly. So let's do a podcast. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello,
Mr. Matt. Hello, welcome back. Welcome back, dear listener. What a time we've had. There's a little bit of news. There's some cool new products we're going to talk about. I'm going to be putting together, I'm building my own parts caster at the moment. We're going to talk about that. Matt's obviously doing some pedal board building. I think this week's Patreon, we're going to talk about what amps we would buy right now whilst we're waiting for Sun Amps to announce what they're going to be releasing. First things first, we actually did some new YouTube videos for the first time for a while.
I didn't even know, Joe. They just appeared because I've subscribed and clicked the bell icon like every sensible YouTuber tells you to do. I was like, oh, video from Guitar Nerds?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I just, it's because it's not that we haven't been doing videos. It's just I put them out on our Instagram just because I like the format on Instagram, but I kind of got bored with the vertical videos, and I thought, well, if I just do them horizontal, you can put them out on YouTube as well as Instagram, and no one really cares. You can put your phone on the side, you know, when you're watching a video, and a horizontal video makes way more sense for guitars that are held horizontally, so you can actually fit them in shot. All you get is a load of tummy and a load of, you know, junk. Loads of groin, loads of belly. So much better. But yeah, we did some videos on the on that lovely Jodo by Vintage Guitars Gas Jockey, the Telecaster body shape, Firebird appointments, three mini humbuckers, set neck, gorgeous gold finish, lovely binding, gold hardware. Lovely guitar. So
it's nice to have the videos back, Joe. I know we talked a long time ago about trying to bring back the lists, the top fives and the top tens, and it's something that I would love to do and be more involved in. Shoot a lot of video for work now, and with the new studio be going underway probably in the next few months, I think it would be a great opportunity to potentially get involved in some of that again. But I guess let the listeners decide, do they want to see our faces? It's just a lot of work to put those together, but ultimately, so many of those videos we did, I think one of them's like almost a million views, and just like
it's probably about 10 years old though, so I don't know if that counts. But yeah, we will do them again. It really is that I've had an insane amount of work over the last year, really, and that's going to ease up a little bit over the next few months. So I am going to have a chance to actually do things like that. But it's been nice. It was nice actually getting to demo the Jodo Gas Jockey a bit more properly. Obviously, as a guitar player, I'm more of a sort of song constructing guitarist than I am I don't do a lot of lead work or solos. I'm not a fantastic blues player. So I like building a track rather than sort of, just showing off.
Yeah.
But that was quite nice. I really enjoyed doing that with Gas Jockey. I used like the Victory V4, the copper, their AC30, their Vox style sort of pedal board amplifier. I used that for all the amplifier tones, which was great. It took drive pedals really well. I used the Great Eastern Effects co-designer drive into the front of that, which is kind of nice because you've got this like width control on the drive, so you can make it really skinny and telecastery, or you can really thicken it up depending on what you so it almost doesn't matter what guitar you have a drive pedal that can turn your guitar into something else. And I used a bit of the VVC Co. Yes, that's the pedal, isn't it? Yeah, the Afterlife. Remember the Afterlife?
Ah, yes.
Oh, I used that for all the lead tones. It was a lot of fun. In fact, let's listen to that. Let's start with that, dear listener. This was the track that I built with the Jodo Gas Jockey. And once again, fantastic guitar, 800 quid with a hard case, 100 ever made. It's pretty cool. That was the Jodo Gas Jockey, great guitar, and I felt that that's what you need is a nice sort of edge of breakup drive and then a really saturated fuzz. As long as you've got some amp reverb there, you're good.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's like listening to a knockoff Radiohead, Joe. I like that.
There you go. Thanks very much.
Yeah, no, I think it sounds great. Again, cool guitar, and it's so good to just again, as always, as I say, hear those in context, but actually hear them not necessarily recorded by a mic'd up amplifier just goes to show how much you can do with, you know, the tools that are out there now, you know, and I think that's what I always just find amazing. I mean, of course, I love plugging into an amp and I love hearing everything through an amp and I don't do much apart from play that at home. But actually, from a recording perspective, it's just, you know, it's plug and go. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I used the Victory V4, the copper, for that. I loved it. I think it's a great sort of desktop amplifier solution. But I liked having it for that. But my standard, always plumbed in, ready to go recording solution now is just the line out on the Katana. It's permanently wired into my interface. And that's what I record with, because you get a great room sound from it, and which I think is really important when you're trying to tailor effects. Especially, it's great to be able to hear it through the amplifier speakers and not your little monitors or a set of headphones.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I seem to get the best results with that, with a simple Katana. What are they? £300, you know, plumbed into an interface, and it's just great.
Yeah, well, I think it sounded. I think that sounded really good. That guitar is definitely, you know, maybe not someone's first guitar, but if you're looking for something different,
different and fun.
I really do think that they're just a really cool, fun guitar.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you fancy another guitar, dear listener, something that we sorted out. I announced it today on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. Oh, sorry. Matt and I are recording this quite early, aren't we? We're recording this on the Friday, and this doesn't come out until next Wednesday.
Indeed.
Next Tuesday for Patreons and next Wednesday for everyone else. But we recently, dear listener, put out a little video on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group that we've teamed up with Chapman Guitars to give away one of their ML1X satin natural guitars. Gorgeous guitar, sort of S-style guitar, HSS pickup configuration. Really great, really gorgeous, really simple instrument. And also one of the guitars that Chapman had designed through collaboration by the community, by listening to what people wanted from an instrument. And that's kind of at the heart of Chapman, I think, as a brand, is they love community creativity. And so the deal that we've got with Chapman is this is worldwide, dear listener, wherever you are, they'll pay the import and they'll send it out wherever you are. All you've got to do to enter to be in with a chance of winning the ML1X is you need to tell them what your signature would be. They're just looking. They love that. They love getting that information. What's popular? What do people want from a guitar? And they use that to, you know, work on their own guitars. So this is kind of like, you know, designing the GN1, as I was calling it. you design out the Guitar Nerd signature model, but it's not necessarily for them to make, but they might. And so there is a little link to like a Google form. The link's in the description of this podcast, or you can find it on our Instagram, our YouTube, our Facebook. It's all over the place now. And basically it's a bunch of questions. I think there are six questions on sort of body shape. Oh, sorry, six pages of questions. I think there's a couple of questions on each. It doesn't take 5 minutes, but on, you know, type of body shape, pickup configurations, type of finish, type of neck profiles, accessories, hardware. And there's basically, you've got the ability to add additional information as you want or keep it dead simple. And yeah, that's it. So you just design that, submit it with an email address. You don't get added to any mailing lists or anything like that. The only person that's going to be contacted is the winner, who will be randomly selected by me and Chapman Guitars. And yeah, you win yourself an ML1X. The competition's running for about a month, so you've got plenty of time to do it, dear listener.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You know, and think of what you want from your signature model and fill out the form and win a really great guitar.
What, I mean, obviously the whole Chapman brand has been built off those, you know, the very first ones. It was all votes through, you know, Rob and really early on. Yeah. And I've just, you know, if you go on their website now, if you haven't been on there for a while, it's just such a great range of sort of new and awesome looking guitars.
Yeah.
I saw some
at great prices as well.
Indeed.
For what they are, like, you know, certainly the modern stuff. You think about how much all that praise we give Ibanez or gave Ibanez, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, Matt, when they were bringing out all these crazy poplars and crazy burls and amazing configurations and options at really reasonable prices. I really feel like that's something that Chapman have done for the modern player now.
Yeah. I think if it was me, if I was designing something...
Yeah, what would you do?
Well... I mean, I've got one of the Beer baritones, which they don't do anymore, which I've sort of heavily modified.
Yeah.
I really love the ML3. I think that's the kind of...
That's their T-style, the
ML3. Yeah, which is very similar to what the
Beer baritone was intended as well.
Beer one. And obviously they do some really nice, got some special runs with some like poplar, with some burl tops.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really like the ML3 Pro.
Right.
They've got a new one, the ML3 Pro Modern. They've got a new one, which they do in a coral pink, metallic satin, with black hardware. I think it would be cool to see something like that in a baritone.
Oh yeah.
Potentially. Matching headstock, that would be cool. I'd love to see that with headstock.
Yeah, I could get behind that. What finish?
It is, so they do a coral pink metallic satin.
Oh, right up your street.
And I think it would be cool. I definitely think it'd be cool to see an HSS.
On an ML3? An HSS on a T-style?
Yeah.
No, Matthew.
Yeah, go full modern, you know, it's kind of like that surfing. Sir, I've got that. I think that would be cool. Do you remember there was a, what telly was it? Fender at one point did an HSS telly. And I don't know. I think it's cool. It's got that T-style vibe about it. But I think you could do something. I think you could do something quite different with that. I think it'd look quite cool.
Yeah, maybe.
Don't forget Reverend. Reverend, I've got the Pete Anderson Eastsider S.
Which
has got the... that's actually got three single coils in it. And I actually just Googled HSS Telly, and it came up with an article on Fender's website. I don't know when this was. The American Elite Telecaster HSS. I don't know when that was, but yeah, crazy looking guitar. Yeah. But anyway, that's what I'd have.
That's anything
in that color. My Beer baritone My beer baritone is, I took the neck pickup out, so it's just the bridge humbucker.
Which I think what was in the neck well. Before?
It's a Seymour Duncan. Is it some sort of hot rails? I think it might not have been Seymour Duncan at the time.
That's
actually.
I think it might have been. I was just trying to think of what pickup size it was, but it was like a single coil size, wasn't it? But it was a stacked single coil.
Yeah, I think.
So not a single coil, like a
mini. Yeah, I think later on they did a Seymour Duncan in the neck, but I think the one that I had was just a non. I think it was like a non-brand, like a Chapman one rather than like a branded one. But that's cool. I think that's a really nice opportunity to go in and have your say about what you'd have. And I think they're a great sort of set of guitar shapes and ideas to really start from. So be interesting to see what people come up with.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm in the same body shape as you, Matt. I love the MO3. I love their Tele style. I mean, it's just because, you know, I like that Tele style cut. But I really like that. The MO3 Pro, they do the MO3 Pro as a traditional, and they do it as the traditional and the traditional new, which means you get a proper, the Tele control plate, traditional Tele pickup configuration, and you get some great colors in the, I mean, if you go for the traditional new, then you get some like lovely sort of their tops with bound sides and then natural wood back and sides. You get like a gorgeous gold metallic, which is very cool, but also like what they call a frost green gloss, which is like a very bright sea foam almost, and a liquid teal, which is slightly darker. The ML3 Pro is quite nice because you get like a slight bevel on the top of the Telecaster, which gives it quite an interesting, you know, quite a unique standout thing to a Telecaster. But I do love just their standard series ML3 traditional. Like, it's £529.
Yeah.
And it's a Tele with a couple of extra cuts in it, with a P90 in the neck, which is very, very cool. You can get it in black gloss. It's bound, a maple neck. Everything about it's great. The only thing I'd change, and I think this is a Chapman thing. So, I mean, it was an option, dear listener, on the list that you could, on the questionnaire that you could change. But this seems to be a Chapman thing. Reverse headstocks. I hate it on a six aside, because it means everything's in the wrong place. You know, it's you putting your hand around the other side. And I know it would only take a little bit of learning, but especially when I'm trying to like tune the D string, I'm constantly grabbing the G instead of the D.
Yeah, no, it's the same for, I do it all. I actually do it. The Reverend Matt West that I've got is the same. And I quite often do it, even though I think it's the best headstock, 4 and 2, Music Man. I often mess up the Music Man as well. So I'm tuning the B thinking it's the G. So I'm like, duh, duh. It's like, oh, no, wait.
Just why? Why? Reverse headstocks was the point.
But actually, their satin guitars are, I think they're really cool. I think they look really, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the beer one was satin. I think they just, it's nice just to have that sort of lightly colored top, you know. So when you look at the ML3 modern and you do something like the Stormburst, which is the sort of black and gray sort of finish, I think they just look really, really premium. But that that one with the P90 in the neck, I think again, it's quite nice mix of a traditional looking guitar, but actually at the same time it's got some modern features, and I think it looks super classy in white. If you could put a white pickup, a white P90 and a white single coil in that as well, I'd be into that. That'd be very cool.
Fair enough. That's
get some EMGs in that.
But what a great pickup configuration. P90 in the neck with the angled Telecaster single coil in the bridge. That's all the tones that you could ever possibly need.
Yeah.
I'm up for that. I think that'd be good. But yeah, so dear listener, check them out. Look at the Chapman website for inspiration on the sort of things that they do already. And yeah, design your signature model, maybe win a really great guitar.
Indeed. I guess, Joe, it sort of leads on to what we've been talking about over text the last few days, because you've been trying to find your own guitar, but yet unsuccessfully, despite there being literally tens of thousands of guitars available, you're still not happy.
Okay, so this came from something recently. A couple of weeks ago, I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast. I think we did, but I bought a Fender Roger Waters Precision Bass.
Yes.
And I realized it was the first bass that I bought just for me in a long, long time. Like, there's always, it's always something like a brand's doing me a deal because, you know, maybe I know them, or maybe I'm doing something with the show, or maybe it's a loan piece that I've had and I've really liked, so I've bought. But there's always something. There's always an agenda there. And I very rarely actually buy something because I'm like, what do I want? And I bought the Roger Waters because it was perfect for my band Polymath. We wear black suits. It's black. It's got this glossy maple neck. It's this huge 50s neck, big Seymour Duncan quarter pounder precision bass pickup. And I got it. I was like, oh, this is just everything I want, like without anything else, without any caveat. And I realized because I'm playing guitar in Silas Fennec with my partner Emma, I was like, well, maybe I want something like that as well. Because I've got the Gres Mendocino, which is absolutely amazing. But of course, it was a guitar that I got because it was a lone instrument that I decided to keep hold of. And, you know, like there's the Jazzmaster, which is just one that Jay lent me that I'll have to give back to Fender at some point. I certainly would never go for that finish. And I just thought the same. I thought, you know, I've never, none of my guitars, not even the harmonies, because again, they were loan pieces that I decided to keep hold of. I've never actually chosen a guitar. I mean, there are a few, because I'm a bass player first, there are some basses that I've bought for me, but I pretty much have no guitars that I bought for me. I had the Strats that I bought for me and I sold them all. I had my Baja Tele, which I foolishly sold.
Mm.
So I don't have any guitar that is just a guitar that I want. I was like, okay, I'll sit down. What do I want? What guitar do I want to play in Silas Fennec? And I realized what it is a relic-ish, you didn't have to, you know, sort of a worn 52 Tele. That's what I want. Maybe blonde with a black guard, maybe butterscotch, something like that. Super traditional. It will go well with my 50 style P basses that I'm playing at the moment. And, you know, it's just dead simple, brilliant guitar.
So do you want the sound of the Tele or the look of the Tele? You want the set, you're not just going on the look. So it's the sound first and then then the looks. And just because you started with Relic and I was like, you just want a Relic guitar.
No. It's I want that Tele sound. I love the way Telecasters sound. I think it would be the right sort of guitar for that sort of edge of breakup, drowned in reverb, you know, because there's no drums or anything. I'm doing all the work. I just think a Tele's a really good all-rounder. It cuts through, but get some lovely warm tones off of the neck lipstick. I just think it's, you know, feels nice to play. I love a big, chunky neck. Telecasters have some of the biggest necks going. It just seems like the right sort of thing. I play sitting down a lot, which counts Les Pauls out because they fall off your leg. I probably obviously wear a strap, but still, they sit funny when you're sitting down. You know, so I was like, well, it's a 52 Telecaster. That seems like the solution. So I started shopping around for, you know, that sort of style spec. I could save money. Classic Vibe, they do a 50s Telecaster.
They do.
Squire, Classic Vibe, loads of finishes available at the moment. You can get Butterscotch, you can get Vintage White, but they also do this lovely like Vintage Cream with a white guard as well. They even do a Burgundy Mist at the moment.
Your favourite.
I know. All those things, like, brilliant, but I was very much like, no, I want to buy the guitar to make me stop constantly buying other affordable to mid-price guitars. I want to get something nice. So I discounted the Squire for that reason. But also don't have a massive amount of money to play with. So I started looking at other options and, you know, Fender want nearly $2,000 now for an American vintage.
Yep. It's expensive.
It is expensive for what it is. You know, I understand. I know I'm always the one arguing this is how you know, this is how economics works. Stuff goes up in value. But I remember when those things were 1,200 quid. I don't know if I can bring myself to part with £2,000 for, you know, for an off the shelf American made guitar just because it's Fender. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So as you know, I was looking around at other options, other things out there. Bahas, I had one, so maybe something different. Also, I don't like the four-way selector on a Baha. That annoyed me, and the little S1 button. Like, ugh, I don't need that.
Oh, yeah, got rid of that. Yeah, got rid of that. Exactly. Actually, the sounds of the four-way, very, very good. But
I just need it to be on the fly. I need the neck or the bridge. I don't need to mess around with other things. So was looking around at those things, started looking at other options. Vintage, of course, we've been talking about Jodo. Vintage do a 52, even do a Relic in their Icon series. But again, I was like, do I want to, you know, it's a £500 instrument. Will I be just lusting after a proper Fender one if I get this? So I thought maybe not that. I looked at some other things, considered the Chapman, but then I was like, no, it's a modern neck. And basically, after looking around for a while, I realized the only things I found that fit my bill were a couple of random parts casters that I found on eBay or Reverb. And that got me thinking, well, rather than paying a bunch of money that I'll never see again, because you can never move on parts casters for what they're offering. And often people Indeed. Want too much money for a parts caster.
Yeah.
Basically the parts caster that fit the bills, the person wanted a grand for it. I'm like, I'm not going to get a grand for it if I ever sell it. I was reluctant to do that. So it got me thinking, well, why don't I make my own parts caster? And yes, that, Matt, is when I started messaging you being like, maybe there are some bodies. Because, you know, Fender do Relic 50s Telecaster next. They actually do Esquire next as well. Not in Relic, but they do Relic next, which means the big thing is every time I look at a Telecaster, and this was the problem with Squire, this was the problem with Vintage, Modern C. How has this neck profile become the standard? When did guitarists become such wimps that a modern C is the most popular guitar shape? It's like, oh, it can look like a 50s Telecaster, but if you're really weak and you can't play properly, it's got a nice little neck for you. I want a V, I want a U, I want a D, or I want a traditional C, you know, something like that. So I was from Fender, I can get those necks, 350-ish quid. It's a big old chunk for a neck, but still that neck's available. So I started looking around for Telecaster bodies, and you were sending me some links, but they were because I was looking at, I found like a Relic place that does like Relic bodies, and it was like £400 for body. And I was like, I'm almost on a grand just with an unloaded body and neck, you know. And you started sending me some links, but they were poly finish. And I was like, should I be getting a poly finish? If I'm going to do this, I should do it properly. So we talked about getting an unfinished body and maybe getting like metal ram at Fidelity Guitars to refinish it. And then you sent me something that reminded me of a brand. I'm not sure you realized when you sent me the link, you sent me a link to a Guitar Anatomy body. Dear listener, if you're in the UK or Europe, guitaranatomy.com, absolutely fantastic. We have a couple of their pickups at the moment. They do the Fuzzy Duck pickups, Guitar Anatomy.
Ah, right.
So we've got their P90s to put in. I still haven't put in something, which I will find something for. But they also do bodies and necks. And, I mean, they're fantastic. Obviously, you were sending me Nitro Satin Shell Pink Telecaster guitar body, two-piece American order, £160. That's the one that you sent me. Incredible value for a nitro finish body. But they also do translucent butterscotch blonde in vintage nitro. It is satin. I would prefer a gloss, but it's still nitro, and it's £170 for that. That's it.
It's incredibly good value, I must admit. When I look at that for £159, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll buy one.
Yeah, I mean, that is for a nitro finished body, man. You like satin, you know? That's very good, and it's a thin layer of nitro, so they'll wear super quick. So I don't even have to get this relic. This is just going to naturally wear with me,
yeah,
which is nicer.
And so I was just having a look, because I haven't actually looked at, I know Fender now do have lots of necks available on Fender.com.
Yeah.
And you can search by neck shape. So looking at you necks, yeah, it is pretty cool that you can get I'm looking here, 50s modified Esquire neck with narrow tool frets, 9.5-inch radius roasted maple, £315. Or you can, yeah, as you say, you can get a road-worn 50s neck at £409.
Yeah, and you get the 7.5-inch radius, which is what I want. Or, sorry, 7.25-inch.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. I didn't know that you could you get that. I mean, the roasted maple, 50s roasted maple Esquire neck is very cool indeed.
Very cool indeed. But here's the thing. Guitar Anatomy also do necks, and they do a Telecaster roasted maple vintage guitar neck in nitro satin, which is extraordinarily cool, gorgeous looking. The headstock is perfectly done. I love it very much, but modern C profile, damn, 9.5, damn. But they do also a Telecaster jumbo vintage in vintage tin nitro finish with a proper C profile. It's a 9.5-inch radius again, but get this, it's $139.99. And what I have to decide is whether getting a 7.25-inch radius is worth, you know, £400, paying £400, even if I managed to talk Jay into giving me a discount, which I doubt he would. You know, that it's still, that's a lot of money for the radius difference than Guitar Anatomy for £139. So I might just take the 9.5 and get that, you know, that Tele neck. I can put a Fender logo on the headstock if I want, you know, if I care about that sort of thing.
But
that's no money. $139.99 for the neck, $169.99 for the body, and then, you know, it's just about looking for all the hardware and bits and bobs. I know it's all going to add up, but it's not bad.
It's, yeah, I mean, the great thing is with the Guitar Anatomy, which I didn't realize, is you can actually do like a build list, and you can save it all
can
together
you?
And then,
oh,
yeah,
there's so, this build list link at the top. What,
yeah,
does that
so
do?
You can click on that, and then that basically then allows it, basically just puts, so you can keep on top of your build, you can put everything together, so you can keep track of, have you got all the right parts?
My goodness.
And yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, a, just got here, Strat HSS. Actually, I don't know why I put HSS, but Seafoam Green, two-piece American Older Nitro Satin, and then a roasted maple and rosewood Strat neck. Yeah, $169 for the neck, $159 for the body. I mean,
wow.
You know, the thing with parts casters for me, as you've said, Joe, is they don't really have any value. And ultimately, you know, you can spend thousands, and I've seen people spend thousands on Warmoth stuff. And to be honest, they then become expensive to dismantle, because, you know, sometimes the magic of a guitar is picking one up off the shelf and playing it and kind of going, oh, this guitar is great, I wouldn't change a thing. And then
we talked about Warmoth. Do you remember when Joss Allen, when we were working at GAC, when he got really obsessed with Warmoth and he ordered like a custom spec? I can't remember what it was, like a Jazzmaster, double humbucking Jazzmaster.
It's like $3,000's worth of guitar or something. And
he hated it.
Yeah, and that's a waste of risk. And I think that's actually where, if you can spend less and something that you're invested in, but obviously not spending loads and loads, you can change it around and modify it until you get what you want. And I think the body and neck, you know, are going to be pretty good for the money.
Yeah.
But because they're universal and fairly modular, it's easy to change things around.
That's the best part about Fender guitars. They're just, yeah, just having all those very modular universal parts. But I was having a little look at hardware, tuners, things like that. Guitar Anatomy do the whole lot. This build list is very handy. I was actually going to purchase a couple of bits earlier today, but I'm so glad you've pointed out this build list part so I can just kind of go through.
Do it all in one go. What else are you putting on this dream guitar then, Joe?
Well, it's obviously it's going to have to be, everything's just got to be 52E. I don't need to be especially correct, but you know, I have to have, you know, it's got to be vintage style saddles, the three brass barrel saddles.
Yeah.
It's got to be the pinched vintage tuners as well. I don't need to have open gears. I'm fine just as long as they're pinched.
Mm-hmm. What about would you go Keith Richards and do HS, so humbucker in the neck, or is it two single coils?
I thought about it, but I think I just want that just straight up standard 52 style thing. So I think, just a lipstick in the neck and a single coil in the bridge. I don't want any messing around. I just want a simple three-way because I'm only ever going to use one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And volume, tone. I just want it to be simple and good and chunky feeling. So that's the idea. Already sorted out pickups as well. Actually, that's the one thing I'm not doing through Guitar Anatomy this time. I am going to go. There's this company that have a fantastic selection of Telecaster style pickups, Green Pickups, which is a company I've been talking to recently. They do a few different mixed magnet sets. They do like an Alnico 5, 3, an Alnico 5 and 2 in the neck. They do a vintage style set with a 3 in the bridge and a 2 in the neck, or like an all, you know, sort of like an all 5 mm-hmm. Alnico set, like a modern thing. So I was thinking just the vintage style 3 in the bridge, 2 in the neck set from them. Keep it, you know, keep it real.
So before you hit the buy now button, Joe, I'm sure one guitar we haven't talked about here, or maybe you did and maybe I missed it, but just looking around for some, you know, alternatives, you know, playing the you know, Joe, don't do the parts caster route, although I must admit I would like to build my own guitar. I was talking about one of my friends the other day about doing, we've talked about it for years, Joe, and we really should reach out to Ben at Crimson about doing the course, because it would be cool to make our own. But the limited edition Vintera Roadworn 50s Tele in Sonic Blue, because you've actually got the 50s U-neck and the 7.25 radius on that.
Oh, I didn't notice 7.25 on the Vintera. That is...
only comes in Sonic Blue, though, so that, it might be a game changer. It might be a deal breaker for you, but
yeah. It kind of is. I don't like pastel colour. I don't want those sort of surfy pastel colours. I want the guitar to look rock and roll, not Hawaiian shirt surf. Oh. You know?
Ryan at 60 Cycle Hum would be so disappointed.
I know. Well, he does that, and that's great. I want to. I just want the sort of. It's got to look good with a black suit.
I absolutely would play this. So, if listened to Joe and gone, no, I definitely don't want to build my own. But I like the idea of that spec. This Vintera is Roadworn Nitro finish, hot 50s Tele single coils, thick 50s U-neck, 7.25 radius, and 21 vintage-style frets with the vintage-style string-through body and the three brass saddles.
It is actually perfect, isn't it? Like, the only thing is the finish. It's everything I want except for the finish, and it's much easier than getting the parts. I do want to do the parts, because this is... throwing a spanner in the works. Can I live with Sonic Blue?
I think the thing is, because it's road-worn and because it's fairly light, I think it would be much... It's probably as close to white as you would get without being white in terms of other colours that are available.
Yeah.
And I would say it's always tricky because I know when we worked in a store... You can't play a guitar that... It's very difficult to play a guitar that if you play it and you love it and it's the best thing ever, but you really don't like the colour. And if it's the only colour they do, it's so difficult to be like, I won't put the cash on the table because I hate the colour. But ultimately, you've got to be the one to look at it every day. I mean, I know when I played the James Valentine, I was like, if I'd have had my way, I would have loved the option of a different colour.
But the
white, and I do like the colour now, and I've grown to, obviously, of course, and because I loved the guitar. But it is one of those things that, as much as people would say, oh, you know, it's the guitar that matters in the sound, it's like, yeah, you still got to look at it every day and still got to like the way it looks. And ultimately, you don't pick up a guitar. You pick up a guitar that you like the look of, and then you see if you like the sound. Yeah. You don't really do it the other way around. So, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to have a long, hard think about this this Vintera, because I did look at the Vinteras, but I didn't see this limited edition road-worn one.
Yeah, and actually, $10,499. Yeah, you know, it's pretty good price for that, I think.
Not too bad. I'd probably get away with spending a bit less if I went for the build. I think the build will probably parts, pickups, and bodies. It probably won't be that much more than £600, I reckon. Guitar Anatomy is very affordable. Even like the tuners and all the hardware that they offer is incredible prices, really. So I think it's more affordable to do the kit.
Yes.
But so I'm tough to have one. A think. Yeah.
I'm on the Fender website right now, and there's loads of stuff that I've just not seen before. Yeah. But, you know, I am the same as you. When you sent those links through, I was like scouring eBay. I tend to find eBay slightly better than Reverb for parts and individual bits. And there's so many cheap bodies and squires and things that you could get and rip apart and mess around with. And I definitely think that's quite a, you know, it's a cool, satisfying and rewarding thing to do.
I wonder if I'd get more out of building my own. The downside is, you know, out of building my own, unless I'm go to Fender, I can't get a vintage neck.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be a thing anyone
that,
does.
That neck that you were looking at is the neck that's on this.
Yeah, exactly. Which makes
sense. So, yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, we've been talking about doing mod mode for a while, and we were talking about modding those.
Well, it's coming. Fender have agreed to send us the Sonic Strats. They're just incredibly slow at getting back to me. So, I mean, I assume they're Fender, so they're very busy. But I'm just waiting for them to confirm that those are on the way to us, basically, now. So, and we've got those lovely House of Tone pickups to load into our Sonic Strats. Just got to decide what else we're doing mod wise. Do you know? Have you pre-planned what you're doing?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because it's one of those things where it's like, don't really want to hack anything, you know, in terms of like hack away at anything. I've got that one humbucker. So, you know, going for, you know, something I've done before with, as I said, the Beer Baritone, I've got the Matt West. I like doing the sort of humbucker Esquire, humbucker Esquire. I'd like the idea of maybe doing something similar to that Squire Paranormal Esquire that's got the chicken head knob, you know, for like a selector. Potentially could be quite cool. I think the only thing I'm going to try and do myself, because it's easier, is the scratch plate.
What?
Because trying to find the scratch, well, basically buy a blank that fits and then cut out where I want everything to be, because otherwise it's too difficult to do. And I've seen a couple of, I like the idea of doing the Van Halen humbucker on an angle type thing, you know, how it's like on an angle. Yeah. I saw a
Billy Joe Armstrong, Tom DeLonge did it as well.
I saw like a modded, a couple of modded strats that had that. So I don't know, something around that, maybe putting something unique in it in terms of circuitry, maybe. Probably strip and sand the neck, obviously leave the body. Nice pink guitar body, don't really want to change that. But I don't know. If anyone's got any suggestions or anything they'd like to see that we might be able to incorporate, then let us know. But yeah, I'm all up for ideas, that's for sure.
Yes.
What about you, Joe? Have you got a? Are you? Are we both getting Strats, or are you doing something different?
We're both getting the Sonic Strat, the single humbucking Sonic Strat. I ordered you the pink one with the maple neck, and I've got the black one with the Indian laurel neck. So my things to do on the neck are to get it glossed, and also to take some Montespresso to that board to try and make it not look like Indian laurel, because Indian laurel looks bad and it is a bad material that everyone is using at the moment because it's cheap, but it looks terrible. So I will get some Montespresso on that, make that look a bit better, get some gloss lacquer on the neck so that it feels proper to play. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big thing for me. And then, you know, I've got this fantastic humbucker that's going in the bridge. I think I might try and do something like maybe just a single volume control, like cut a new plate with just a single volume control, maybe something with like that S1 style switch in the top of it, so that have that set up as a kill switch built into the volume control, like an unlatched kill switch built into the volume control, something like that. I think keep it, you know,
I like the idea of actually not even putting a volume control on it, just a kill switch. So you can just turn it. I think Mark Packham did that once. I'm sure he did that to his bass. Yeah. It was literally just on or off. I think I remember the first time I put a kill switch in one of my guitars and wired it back to front, so it was an off-on switch. So it's basically always off, and then you had to click the button in to turn it on. I was like, oh, I think I've messed up here somewhere. Just reverse the wires. But I was like, oh, it's not very practical, is it?
Not really.
Oh, that's cool though. I'm looking forward to getting that, and cracking on with that soon as well.
We'll see. I think I might go to Indra Guitars for a scratch plate. They do these lovely sort of acid etched or laser etched scratch plates.
Yes, I have. I have the listeners won't be able to see this, but if you go to James's Home of Tone, you can get his James's Home of Tone signature Strat. Neck plate,
yeah, with the James Atone, that lovely spaceship logo, and it is Indra, isn't it, that makes them for him. So
yeah, exactly. So that's a good shout. I'd might have to copy you on that one.
Cool. Indra are fantastic. I really like their anodized stuff because it has a more delicate etching on it. Well, I got some stuff done before and I went for like their thicker black metal plates, and they were so heavy, they were so thick, and because the detail was so much on them, there's big thick lines on them, it was great, but it put a lot of extra weight on the guitar. So if you go for the anodized stuff, it's much thinner and less weight, so it's a bit more reasonable. But yes, I probably will go for that. So we'll see. Other mods, haven't thought of them yet. We'll play those by ear.
Well, take it as it comes.
Yes.
But yeah, well, that's a lot about modding guitars and new guitars.
Well, let's talk about the other obvious place to go through from here. We've been exchanging pedal board photos with each other on messages.
Yes, we have.
Have you been ripping yours apart? You sent me that you bought another new pedal board the other day. Do you need more pedal boards?
I am I will freely admit that I am addicted to buying pedal boards from the UK manufacturer Custom Pedal Boards. I've owned loads of Chris's stuff in the past, and they are great boards. However, I will also admit they are expensive, and I don't fancy buying a new one every time.
Well, the great thing is, the same way the parts casters don't retain their value,
exactly.
Neither do custom pedalboard boards.
Exactly. And they, in some ways, I would argue they should do. They're very good. I think they're the best pedal boards you can buy because they're very solid, full flight cases. They come, certainly if you use switches, they do the tiered ones. You know, so you can put your switcher at the front, you can have your tier of pedals that you can tap on and on if you need to. And then you can have your row underneath. You can fit more on them. They're just really good. They're really solid. And a while back, I bought a size that they don't make anymore. It was like a prototype size, right, that they did, which is for a switcher, but then also has a large kind of open space to the left-hand side. And I was like, right, I'm going to make the ultimate board, and I'm sure we talked about it months ago, and I put everything together on it. And then one day I just looked at it, and in a fit of madness, I was like, I could definitely lay this out better. To be fair, it was also partly driven by I was like, oh, I'm gonna put together a small board and a few different things. And I was like, oh, sometimes you doubt the pedals that are on your pedal board because you've got other stuff sat in your cabinet that's really good.
Yes.
And
yes,
I was like, have I really got all my favorite pedals on this pedal board? And the one pedal that threw it off was, we were talking about I think this was a few weeks ago, I was talking about the Revival Trem, and then we were talking about, I think, maybe the Echo line, or I was certainly talking with podcast Al Lawson about it. And then I was like, oh, maybe I should have the Dane on it.
You've got the big box Echo line as well, haven't you?
I did. And then I sent a picture of my pedal. I was talking to Thorpe, and he's like, oh, no Dane. And I was like, oh, I love this. And so I was like messing around, swapping all those pedals in and out. And then I was like, oh, you know, one pedal I've been missing for ages is my Dan Drive Secret Weapon, which is his take on the Zonk machine. So it's a real cool, like, classic Octavi 60s fuzz. And I was like, you know, and I was playing that, and I was like, oh, how do I fit this on? And I was like, I've definitely laid things out really badly. And I was like, I put a pedal somewhere, and I was like, I've put that there, and I never need to step on it. Could I do it a different way? So I basically took everything off. Right. And somehow managed to fit another pedal on there and make everything look, it's like Tetris. It's like trying to get those four lines. You're trying to get Tetris, those four lines.
Right.
And so I took everything off and was like, I'm going to I sort of knew I could put things on better. Relayed it all out. And was like, I can't believe I didn't do this before. Everything's on there much better, and I spent a lot more time rewiring it. First time I plugged it in, it's the quietest and best sounding that board has ever been, despite the fact that I've only added and changed one pedal. I think I just, don't know, spent more time on the cabling and all of that, and got the Secret Weapon on there. And I was like, that's it now. I was like, I cannot change this again. But actually, I would argue now that I've got all of my favorite pedals on there, and they're the pedals that I've either used for the longest, had for the longest, or just feel that in terms of the sound they give me, they're my favorite. So
right.
I guess I'll give you a quick rundown.
Yeah, because
I won't go how it's wired. Joe, maybe
I'm looking at the picture. You've got two tiers. Your second level actually has two tiers. So you have pedals that you can't adjust in a live situation.
So they're switched on with the switcher. And I'll send you a couple of pictures. You can put these on the Facebook, Joe, and we'll get some comments.
You use Gig Rig, right?
Well, I've got an ES8. Which I use for work, and I still love the ES8 because the MIDI configurations on that are so good.
Right.
And
you use MIDI a lot to control.
And I do MIDI a lot because I've got a lot of, obviously you've got things like Chase Bliss and stuff like that. But actually, I'm going to put the ES8 on a separate pedal board that I'm kind of doing for work and demos and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And so at the moment I've got a G3, which is the Gig Rig one. And part of the reason for using the G3 on this board was that I could have two stereo loops. So I run this whole board in stereo. It's got more foot switches, and it's got more loops. And because the board is bigger, I wanted to integrate more pedals into the switcher rather than having more pedals outside of the switcher. But I won't run through the signal chain necessarily, but the pedals that are on it, VB2W, gotta have your Wazza vibrato,
of course.
Possibly,
what an absolutely essential.
I would actually say is my favorite. I'd say it's my favorite Boss pedal.
It's so good. It's probably the most normal pedal on your pedal board as well.
It is in some ways, standard. But yeah. Then I've got an OC2.
Yes, tucked again, away underneath.
Tucked away underneath. FT2, the dynamic filter, which was the sort of short-lived or analog filter we did that Boss did for a while. FZ2, legendary hyperfuzz.
Which is the FZ2? Is it what type of fuzz?
The FZ2, no, the FZ2 is based on was based on a Shinai fuzz, so it's got an octave fuzz on it, but then it's also got like a really doomy, bassy, low end fuzz, which was made famous by the doom band Electric Wizard,
right?
So yeah, the FZ2 is like the one that everyone lusts after.
What is it? What?
I don't think it's germanium.
Right.
It's silicon, but just in terms of that classic, like real heavy octave up fuzz sound, like there's an upper octave on it. Sounds amazing. Revival Trem. I tried so many drives and I just love it so much. And I love the Trem sound on it. And I can switch that on and off remotely. I've then got the Grouter Audio Vibe. His Univibe, I think, is the best vibe pedal out there. And I've had that on my board for ages. Underneath the board, so you wouldn't have seen this, Joe, because I don't think I sent you a picture, I've got the MXR Phase 95. The mini phaser.
You bang on about that.
I love that phaser. I mean, you use a Phase 90 as well.
I've bought so many other phasers, like more boutique phasers, thinking, you know, I want something smart and expensive looking on the board. Mm. And then the fact is that I gig a lot, and the Phase 90 is built like an absolute tank. It never breaks. I paid for that pedal, which is rare
for
me because we get sent so much stuff. But I bought that pedal when I was a kid, and it's still the same one. And it's still on my board.
I just think it's great. It's a great sound, and I've actually got an old Boss PH2, PH1 phaser, which is also very good, but it's much brighter, and it's kind of the MXR just has that kind of thicker, like swirly phase. I mean, I really like it because of the Van Halen thing. And the 95 has got the script logo button. You can go between phase 45 and phase 90.
Very cool.
I've then got H9, which I've had on my board for, I would say, at least 8 or 9 years now.
What do you use on the H9?
I use mainly the pitch effects.
Right.
Because
that's your only other pitch device on there other than the OC2, right? So
I use a lot of harmonies, like fifths and seconds. And I've also, I mean, the thing is, I kept saying, oh, there's too much on it. I'm not using enough of it. But actually, there's just a lot of stuff on there I wouldn't necessarily ever use, but it's fun to mess around with. And I was like, oh, you know, why have the other reverb pedal I've got if there's reverbs on that? But the reverbs on the H9 are really good. The space algorithms are really good, but I have a CXM78, and to be honest, that is the best reverb pedal I think money can buy if you want to spend 1100 euros on a reverb pedal.
Have you considered buying one of the little plastic covers for it?
I got one from a third party company.
Which is 3D printed.
And then a company called Deck Saver make one, but I think they're like £80, and I'm like, no. This is home use only. So then I've got the Dandrive Secret Weapon, which is just a great fuzz. And then the Dinosaural Cogmeister, which is Dan Coggins.
Yeah, I remember when you bought
3-in-1 fuzz, and it just sounds, it's basically three drive pedals designed to basically all work in conjunction really, really well. So you've got basically a treble booster with the lows control, the same as the lows boost on the Dane. You've then got a tube bender, which is like a tone bender kind of fuzz in the middle, and then sort of like a mid-peaked boost at the end, which has got a peak control for sort of setting a kind of midpoint, and then an overall boost, which kind of works like a master volume. And that's just my main drive sound a lot of the time if I want something heavier. Recently bought the TC Electronic Infinite Mini.
Yeah, I remember you banging on about that. I thought it was weird how excited you got about that when it came out, but obviously it was because you intended on buying it.
Yeah, and actually, you know, you remember how much I loved the Freeze, and we talked about the Electronics Freeze for ages, and there's lots of pedals with a hold function out there. But
you
actually,
that one does it best.
Well, I think it's nice that you've got the tone prints on there and you can edit all of the sounds and stuff.
That is
the only pedal I'm considering swapping it for is a Boss TE2, which I've been
the Terra Echo.
The Terra Echo, you know, I think it's the biggest hidden gem that Boss make. It's also got a very good hold function on it. So yeah, think about TE2 because that's just super unique. And then SDE3000D, in my opinion, the best digital delay on the market. Super versatile.
Well, it's not any DD3s, 6s, you know, or anything else.
Well, I've got a DD2, and I had a DD2 on my board for ages, which I loved. And this basically, the DD2 was born out of the SDE3000. The SDE3000 rack unit, the chip that was in that was the chip that went in the DD2. So you can dialed in basically exactly the same sound. And then you can really tailor in some sort of more analogy sort of warm sound. So I've basically got it replicating a sort of deluxe memory man. My deluxe sort of basically AB to the two and got super close.
Wow.
And then the hologram electronics.
So that's my only confusing bit. You've got the hologram, you've got the H9, you've got the Chase Bliss, and you've got the Boss SDE. So what is left really for the hologram to do? It feels like you've got a lot.
The hologram does all of the bleeps and bloops.
Right.
Actually, the hologram's just really good at big ambient pads, and I still haven't dived into it enough. But I have got a patch on there that was inspired by a Tom York song off his, I want to say it's the, is it Anima album? There's a song that starts, I think it's the first track on the album. It's like a really glitchy, like, it's obviously like a modular beat or something like that. And I've got the gig rig set up as a kind of MIDI controller that loops the microcosm.
Right.
So you can kind of do some sort of loops and stuff like that. So I've been messing around with that, which is quite cool. And I also managed to dial in a patch that was very much like the solo from Radiohead's Go to Sleep when Johnny Greenwood does the crazy glitchy guitar solo.
Wow.
So I've got a few things like that dialed in, but the way it runs, that it runs in stereo into the SDE3000 into the microcosm.
Wow.
So that runs in stereo and the CXM runs in stereo. And for the longest time, I used to run wet dry. So you basically run into all your drive pedals, you split the signal, half goes into the delays and reverbs, another half just goes straight into the amp. So you've got this kind of more present, punchy guitar sound. But to be honest, those pedals sound so good in stereo, it'd be a crime not to run them in stereo. So I've built that and then gone, cool, what am I doing next? I've had, and maybe we'll talk about it on a later podcast, but
well, let's carry on to the Patreon.
I've had these Moog pedals for a while.
Yeah, and you need to do
because
something
I'm so OCD about how they fit onto a pedal board. Right. I've had another custom pedal board for a while, which is just big open flat one, but it doesn't quite fit everything on there that I want. And someone was selling one for crazy money that is designed for like bigger pedals.
Crazy lots of money or crazy cheap?
Crazy cheap. Oh, they're right. Usually crazy. They're usually crazy money. This one was crazy cheap,
right.
And it's the perfect size to fit all the Moog pedals on, as well as some other bits. So that's the next project.
Do you also own a label printer, Matt? I
do. I love my label printer.
I was looking at how specifically everything's labeled, and I was like, man, I just have like green tape, like that luminous green tape on mine with like a. You know, Sharpies of where the settings should be on each pedal.
I tell you, that's the only thing, and maybe, Joe, you can answer this, but a couple of my pedals I've dialed in so specifically, and I'm like, I need to mark the position. Do you use any sort of particular Sharpie?
So I'm showing you what I use right now on the screen, Matt, because I happen to have a pedal right
next
to
you've got the green electrical tape.
It's not electrical tape. It's kind of, you know, it's gear tape, isn't it? Because it's luminous, glow-in-the-dark tape. Yes. It's that material tape that you can get. It's great because it sticks properly on the pedals, doesn't go anywhere, it's water-resistant. And, you know, when you come to remove it, it doesn't damage the pedal or anything like that. And then you just use a big black Sharpie to draw a circle and then a little line through it where the each of the button settings should be. So that's what I have on all of my pedals, so that, you know, to be honest, when you're at a gig and you're opening your pedal board, if you've got a sound check, you know, then great. Whether you have a sound check or not, you probably don't have that much time, depending on the size of your pedal board, check through each pedal, make sure the settings are in the right place.
Yeah,
you've got a million and one other things that you'll be thinking of at that point in time anyway. So it's very important, I think, to just have every pedal labeled up with where your settings are.
Yeah. But I don't gig, and I want everything to look really pristine.
Right, but
for anyone that's interested, because I found it, I bought my label printer way back on the 18th of January, 2016. And you can still buy it today. It's the Brother P-Touch H101C handheld label and print machine.
Wow.
And you can actually buy pink tape, which is what I've got on my pedal board. And you can also buy sparkle tape, which I also have on my pedal board as well. Sparkle tape is very fun, but impossible to read. So you wouldn't label everything on your pedal board for that, because, yeah, doesn't make sense.
I see. Well, how about that? Well, let's say we're going to continue talking about pedal boards and stuff. Maybe I'll talk through mine as well and your future pedal board projects. What did we say we were going to cover on the Patreon?
Well, we said we were going to talk about amps. Because while we wait for the new Sun amps to arrive, a couple of suggestions, a couple of things I've been looking at.
Lovely.
But also with amps comes reverb, because I've got two amps here with no reverb, and I've been looking at reverb tanks, and there's some new stuff obviously on the market. So maybe we'll talk a bit about that as well.
Okay, yes. Let's talk about that. That actually works for me as well, because I've got a new amplifier as well, which we'll talk about on the Patreon, which doesn't have reverb, that I'd really like to gig with for Silas, and obviously the backbone of Silas is reverb and tremolo, so I need those things. But that is, dear listener, that's all the time we've got on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds. If you'd like to get in touch with us to ask any questions or for any reason at all, then you can email us info@guitarnerds.net, DM us on Instagram, comment on our YouTube videos, do us a favor and watch those. That would be great for me. Thank you very much. You know, talk to us on the open forum on the Facebook group, the Guitar Nerds group on Facebook. If you're a Patreon supporter, then contact us through there. We're heading over to Patreon to talk about, you know, all of those amplifiers. Join us there. Visit patreon.com/guitarnerds for all the info on how to sign up and support our really rather charming community. You can do that for as little as $1 a month. Thank you for listening, dear listener. You have been lovely. We've been the Guitar Nerds. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Thank you to our top-tier Patreon backers for your constant support and making it possible for us to continue doing this podcast. Thank you to Rocket Rob Patterson, Marcus Deluxe, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Chris Franklin, Anton Fryant, Russ Meehan, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, Daniel Walker, Jorin Brown, John Conaway, Russell Healing, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Brian Einzler, Mark Hizal Kadawaki, Stuart Robson, Eric File, Peter Peche, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Weiland, Phil Radomski,
Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dore, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Paul Corrigan, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and of course the wonderful Moog Gravett.